And, well, this is all related to the heating of the Earth's core. The molten core is heating up, and it's due to the magnetic influences of these incoming celestial bodies. When the magnetic, when the magma within the Earth's core heats up, the mantle, which is out closer to the surface than the core, right. It's the next layer up from the core, the outer core, to the mantle, and then above the mantle there is the crust. The mantle is somewhat viscous, very thick molten, and but very thick molten rock. And that begins to heat up and begins to liquefy, become less viscous, more flowing, more liquid as it heats up due to the magnetic heating effect of these surrounding celestial bodies. As a result,
okay. Go ahead, John. Let me finish your thought.
Oh, as a result, I've been reading a book on geology, and when this happens, this book tells me that there are mantle plumes, like columns of molten magma, and also gases that come up through these columns. It's almost like a lava lamp. You see a lava lamp, these columns of lava coming upward, and that's what comes close to the surface, but it hits and stops at the, it's blocked at the lithosphere, which is the crustal surface that forms the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. And my, you know, it just seems to me that this is a theory, because I'm not a geologist, but it seems we're getting bulging of the seabed right now. And I like to know why we're not getting buoy measurements, because buoys are placed in all the oceans and seas in order to monitor the conditions such as temperature, depth, etc. Now, if we had buoy measurements, we would know what the depth is, and we would see the depth changes as a result of any buckling, bulging, or sinking of the seabed. But we're not being told that. I'd like to find out why we can't get buoy readings to see what's happening to that seabed.
Well, I'm assuming, and because, you know, if nothing else, a holdover from the Cold War, that they're taking the measurements, because the United States had the greatest a technological array of sonobuoys in existence, measuring the seafloor so they could detect Soviet submarines. So I know the technology is there. You know, they claim they don't have enough money, but, you know, there's so many black budget items, we don't know what they can afford to do. Now, you were talking about the molten core heating up due to magnetic fluxes. And for our listeners out there, John gave a very good description of how the Earth is formed. If you think of it as an egg, the core would be the egg yolk, the mantle would be the egg white, and the crust, the part that we live on, would be the egg shell. And it's very thin for a reason, because a lot of stuff, as John points out, can come up through the crust. That's why we have the volcanic activity that we have. And these volcanoes can be pretty nasty at times. Dudes of history, remember what happened at Mount Vesuvius, and Mount Etna and all those places. And, you know, we know what happened to Pompeii. So, John, let me redirect you back to the cosmology aspect. Now, you're talking about outside bodies influencing the heating up of the core through magnetic flux. Now, you've written some about Planet X. Now, I was kind of out in the dark about Planet X until I started looking into it when I knew you were coming on. So we're talking about a huge astral body, maybe not a planet, maybe a comet, that the scientists aren't telling us about, but may possibly be having an influence on the shape of the crust, the plate tectonics that keep the oceans and continents from crashing into each other and all that. So tell us a little bit more about the Planet X theory.
Okay, well, there's so much to say, I'll have to abbreviate a lot of the evidence. There are two, going back several decades, two of the largest news publications in the United States announced that Planet X exists, and that Planet X had been discovered. The first announcement came from the New York Times, January 30th, 1983, and this was prior to the launching, the joint launching between the U.S. and the Netherlands of the Infrared Astronomical Satellite, IRAS. It had infrared eyes. It was designed to go into polar orbit and search for Planet X. In fact, that was the stated purpose of this satellite space telescope launch, was to search for Planet X. The title of the lengthy article in the New York Times that I have went to my library. I actually got the microfilm, photocopied the microfilm copy, and I have a pretty clear copy of the actual article. I sent it to Marshall Masters, and he put it on his website. So if somebody, people just do an internet search on these two words, YOWUSA.com, that's his website, YOWUSA.com, and the words, three words, New York Times. You'll come up with that article, and in the article, you just click on, it's embedded in Marshall Masters' commentary about debunking people who try to debunk Planet X. And the, in the article, the article reads, I'm just going to give you the first couple lines for abbreviation, to abbreviate this. And the title of the article from the New York Times, January 30th, 1983, is Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X. And just paraphrasing the first two sentences by John Noble Wilford, staff writer for the New York Times, quote, something out there beyond the farthest reaches of the known solar system is tugging at the outer planets, Uranus and Neptune, causing irregularities in their orbits. This gravitational force suggests the presence of a huge, unseen body, the long-sought Planet X. And then it goes into detail explaining the long history where, when Uranus was discovered in 1781, imagine that, 1781, 230 years ago, even then they noticed perturbations or a plucking of that planet out of its orbit at one particular point in its orbit. So they automatically knew, even at that early stage of the field of astronomy with the unsophisticated telescopes that they had in and the unsophisticated knowledge of astronomy that they had back then, they all of them knew that there must be a massive gravitational body, a body that could exert such force that it would actually pluck these planets out of their orbits. Imagine how far away Planet X must have been in 1781 if it took 200 years to get to our solar system. It was so far away, and therefore, it's mass must be incredible.